Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
It's a dark day in Boston sports. Well, at least in the football side of the ledger. Because the Yankees, yes, the hated Yankees, win 4-0. That also hurts, too. Just the shutout. I know the offense really wasn't good the entire series, but it hurts that you get shut out. And it also hurts that you didn't lose because Judge hit a three-run home run or Stanton hit. They out-small-balled you. You got Jazz Chisholm scoring from first. You got these little seeing-eye ground balls making their way into the out. You got little bloopers turning. Like, that's infuriating. The Yankees didn't even have to show up to beat you. You gagged it away. And most importantly, you became the first team in the history of baseball to win game one and lose the series, Ted Johnson.
Yep. You pounded that into our brains yesterday. And so it's probably sweet justice that the Yankees won for the first time in any of these three-game series. So what a heart-wrenching bummer of a game. But we'll have plenty, I'm sure, time to talk about it for the rest of the show. But, not the way you wanted to have this season ended, but some good things to look back on and to look forward to.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick before we get underway here for our three-point stances. Let's go to Lynn in New Hampshire, get her thoughts on the Red Sox loss. What's up, Lynn?
Yes, hi. I'm just trying to weigh in here. I'm a big Jaren Duran fan. I know he hasn't been up to his snuff lately, and we're all hoping for more. But, you know, I think...
Son of a Lynn.
I was really curious. What did her line say?
No, just thoughts on Red Sox loss. I think she was going to defend, based on the tone of that, the start, defend Jaren Duran, too hard on him. I said earlier he may have played his last game in a Red Sox uniform. Mm-hmm. We gave out Dan Ball's stats. Left-handed hitters OPS at Yankee Stadium with at least 100 at-bats. There's 377 of them. He is 371 on the list among the lowest. Yeah. Awful numbers. Yeah. And anyone who hoped he was going to bounce back and use the night before as motivation, inspiration, whatever, he did not.
Yeah.
It was bad.
And in my, look, he's been very vocal about a lot of his issues that he struggled with, mental health issues. And so there's probably a lot of people that feel like Lynn, but, I can understand her feelings towards him, but, This is big stakes right here. So you got to put out the best team. And so that was the guy that I thought they could have moved on from at the trade deadline. I know he could be a little spark plug at times, but he just was way too inconsistent this year. And I just feel like it's not going to get any better.
Correct.
I feel like he is who he is at this point. I mean, he's 28, almost 29 years old.
And he's going to need to be paid soon. And we can get back to this a little bit later. But just to be clear, Lynn, I feel bad for Jaren Duran, the person. But as the player, I have to hold him to the standard and the expectation that he was a top 10 MVP candidate. He's a guy that's a key player on your team. He's your leadoff hitter. I need him, to make contact with the baseball occasionally and give us a chance to win a baseball game. But it is 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson is here, and it is time for the three-point stance.
319!
318!
318!
318!
Yeah, there you go!
What's up?
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Boston up! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you're mourning the loss of your baseball team like us, you got to get Glassman for that. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you lead us off. You get 60 seconds. That's the number for your opening stance. Are you ready?
60 seconds for most of us, and then Ted goes. But yes, I'm ready.
Yeah, whatever. It's a moving target. Go ahead.
So there's a lot of hope around the Patriots, the Red Sox pitching staff, that, you know, you have an ace in Garrett Crochet. You have a developing young player in Bayo. You have Giolito, a veteran. Now you all of a sudden are adding guys like Connelly Early and Peyton Tolley. Oh, my God, there's going to be such a pitching staff. Even forget about the guys coming back from injury. And that's great. And there is more optimism about this rotation than there has been in a long time in Boston. But then it kind of hit me yesterday watching this game as Cam Schlittler kicked the crap out of you and had a historic performance at the age of 23 after Max Fried was good. And you look at the depth of the Yankees rotation on the other side of this border war rivalry down with New York. When they get Garrett Cole back, they're going to have a great rotation as well. And you could certainly argue that their young stud up-and-comer, who was throwing not 98, as everybody told me he did last night, but 101 with regularity with Schlittler. Now, maybe that is just a juiced-up wild-card playoff series gun on ESPN, or maybe they have their own elite ace. So, yes, the Red Sox have a fun rotation moving forward in theory, but the Yankees might have a scary rotation moving forward when Cole gets back.
Fun rotation, great rotation. I still sort of see some holes and issues with the Red Sox rotation. Like, you've got one of the three best pitchers in baseball anchoring your rotation, who is now in his prime, in Crochet. Side note, if Crochet pitched as well as he did in game one, he might have still lost last night.
Oh, he would have lost.
Which is,
you
which
couldn't
is,
score unless he was going to pinch hit and hit a bomb or find some way to score a god
good.
Dang run. He wasn't going to have, you would have lost 0-0 somehow or something.
But like, now you don't know what's going on with Giolito's elbow. Bayo was shown the spotlight and crapped his pants. Yes, Connelly Early looks tremendous. Like, I put none of last night on that kid. That kid's got the stuff. But Tolley, is he going to learn a second or a third pitch? I don't know. I see the need, Andy, this offseason for the Red Sox to do what many, including yourself, beg them to do at the deadline and go get another stud and really anchor down the rotation.
Well, we've been told that Joe Ryan's going to be primary target number one, two, and three for the Red Sox.
Still the one.
Talk to the insiders there. They still feel, even though that deal never was consummated at the trade deadline, that is still a target of theirs in the offseason.
Yep. And there's a couple other names I've heard bandied about as well, but Joe Ryan still tops the list. And maybe you've helped yourself. Maybe Tolley's first performance and maybe Connelly Early coming up and showing what he can do over five, maybe they had increased value. So now when you package that together to get Joe Ryan, because I'll feel a hell of a lot better about the rotation if you add another veteran. So it goes Crochet, Joe Ryan, Bayo, Giolito, and whatever's left. That's a pretty good rotation.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist right now.
If you had to pick one, what submarine their chances of advancing? Was it their hitting or the pitching?
The hitting. The hitting didn't show up. You were not a major league lineup last night in terms of the way you approached that game.
We thought they were going into the game.
Yeah, we were hopeful. We were optimistic. We were wrong. We're wrong a lot on this show. It's wrong-headed radio from 2 to 6, and we were dead wrong for anybody to believe in it. Fitzy was right. Because Fitzy doesn't root for the Red Sox anymore, and he told us the Yankees were going to win.
Yep.
He doesn't even like the rotation.
Let's just go ahead and change the narrative just to make yourself feel better. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. Just go ahead and twist history.
If he feels better about it, huh, Fitzy?
Yep. Whatever. Ted, I am here for whatever makes Andy feel better about himself. That's primary job number one, sir.
Well, let's see if your three-point stance can do that, Fitzy. Are you ready?
I am indeed, friend. Ready, set, hike.
All right. Here's 60 seconds to hike the ball. Go ahead.
Okay, so yesterday, the ultimate cool stat bro was tweeted out by ESPN's own QB analyst and, of course, legendary NFL backline end zone stepper, Dan Orlovsky, who shared with us that thus far on the 2025 NFL season, Drake May, your Patriots quarterback, has been responsible for 77% of the team's yards. Now, you may at first jump to the fore and say, wow, that's awesome. This kid is This kid is leaps and bounds beyond what I thought he would be at this point. That's incredible. Drake May is more than three quarters of the offense. Holy smokes, we got a real one. And the answer to that is, yes, you're correct. Drake May is legit. Drake May is proving that he may indeed be the one. However, that is very imbalanced. And I do not believe that that is sustainable. To go through an entire season with your quarterback accounting for almost 80% of all your offensive yards is going to prove for you to be one-dimensional to a degree that the better teams will adjust. And now that you're going up against this Sunday, one of the worst rushing defenses with their nose tackle who has a bum wheel in Ed Oliver, now is the time for New England to get their rushing game in gear, if it's possible, and lessen the load on Drake May so he's not responsible for 80% of the offense.
I'll say this. The one thing about Drake, yeah, he is. He's just like Josh early in his career was carrying the offense for Buffalo for most of his early, kind of seasons in the NFL. But at least there's the ball is being spread around to multiple players. It's not like it's just – we got a couple of guys that he's kind of targeting, so it'd be much easier to game plan for an offense like that if they knew what his targets were. And really, you don't know from game to game who's getting them. It seems like Steph Diggs is getting more consistently targeted now more than ever, but the tight ends one game, then it's the running backs the other game. So at least they're keeping teams off balance, spreading the ball around.
Yeah, and he still doesn't have his running mate, whoever that's going to be. Like, he has different running mates, as you point out, each week. But if you look like obviously Derrick Henry in Baltimore, that's a running mate. Literally, that's like a legitimate shareholder. Or what they did with Saquon Barkley last year when he arrives. Like, there is still that guy.
You're talking about that running back position? Or you're talking about a one receiver?
Or it could be a number one receiver that is of that true level. Because I don't think Stephon Diggs is going to get to that true level where it's transformational the way he did the first time. He did it in Buffalo where he transformed their offense and Josh Allen because he was him then. He was 1,500 yards. He was all pro. And that's the next step in this process. Doesn't mean they can't win now, Fitzy, but that's the next step is getting that, whether it's Rob Gronkowski, whether it's Julian, and I don't even care what the guy is, but that second superstar, that second all-pro caliber.
He's not there yet.
Nope.
Right? Like, I don't believe that guy is on the team as of yet.
Not.
There's a nice complement of players. He doesn't even really have his Deion Branch yet to go back, Ted, to the early days of your offense coming into bloom and winning Super Bowls. That guy isn't even really there yet. And if there is to be one in the next couple of years, I think that will elevate the game. But you're right. Spreading the ball around, good distribution, sort of using the passing game as a de facto running game in the interim is good. I'm just kind of hoping that it becomes a bit more of the focal point of the offense sooner than later.
Can I just tell you something very, very interesting?
Sure.
That I think you guys, you're talking, this is good stuff. This is a good discussion. I want to highlight what we're talking about here and just further emphasize it by telling you how Josh came in the league, Josh Allen, in 2018.
Yeah.
And he averaged 52.8 completion percentage his first year, 58.8 his second year, which both are very, very bad. And then had 3,089 yards in his second year, only 2,074 yards in his first year. He threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns in his first year. And then in 2020, it all changed. He went from 58.8 completion percentage all the way up to 69.2.
Nice.
And he went from 3,889 yards in 2019 all the way up in 2020 to 4,500 yards of passing. What changed? Do you know what changed?
I am going to just haphazardly throw a guess. Stephon Diggs arrived?
Stephon Diggs showed up in 2020 and had 1,500 yards, eight touchdowns, 1,500 yards, average 12.1 per catch. So you bring in somebody like that, our true number ones. Obviously, we're getting the older version of Steph Diggs. We're not getting that version. But that just to highlight your point, you get – now's the time to go get the A.J. Brown. Everybody wanted A.J. Brown this year. I guess it maybe looks pretty good right now, but I just felt like they were a little bit of a year away. This year, to me, that should be a high priority.
As Brian Hoyer said, players over plays. Right now, he's making plays. He's running plays. He's distributing the ball. But I don't think he has a player that he says, in this situation, Josh, I don't care what you say. Yeah. I'm going to this certain person. And that's the next step in the evolution of Drake May's career, probably.
Yes.
But also this offense. And when you start to think of how good it can be. And because Quick aside question here for you, Ted, as a former, in case people aren't familiar, Ted Johnson played in the NFL, played Whoa. Defense. Yeah, we hide that fact sometimes. We need to promote it a little bit more. As a defensive player, and not just you as a linebacker, but as a unit, is it harder to deal with a team like this that doesn't have elite players that, you know, they may or may not be playing well? Or is it harder to deal with an offense that you know that Rob Gronkowski is there? Like, you have to start by figuring out how to stop Rob Gronkowski. Is that harder, easier? Like,
I think it's harder. I think it's harder to deal with the team that has what the Patriots are kind of doing.
Yeah.
It's where you have an electric quarterback who can do a lot with his feet, create a lot of creativity with his feet, and then also can basically distribute the ball anywhere to anyone on the field. I think that's a lot harder because, you know, we were so good at trying to predict what they were going to do, to game plan for what they were going to do. And teams, if you're just going to one or two guys in critical situations, then it's a lot easier to game plan and to defend, I think, than the team that you're not really sure where they're going with the ball at any time in any situation.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
Okay, Deadball. Interesting stuff indeed from Ted Johnson, who is next here on our three-point stance. Ted, are you ready?
I'm ready, Dan.
All right, here are 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
All right, so this show likes to use this word, probably a little bit too much, but vibing. But I just want to say that Josh McDaniels and Drake May are vibing.
Yeah.
Those two are working really well together. Right now, you got Drake May at throwing 74% completion percentage. How about this? Steph Diggs is fourth most efficient wide receiver in the NFL, catching 19 of 22 passes thrown to him. Teams are playing a lot of zone coverage versus the Pats offense. Why? Because Drake May can run, so they don't want to turn their backs and cover him man-to-man. So they are facing him, and there's a lot of holes to be exploited in that zone, which Steph Diggs is excellent in beating zone coverage. You also got the fact that Drake May is doing a really good job of manipulating with his eyes, his shoulders. Hopefully the pump fake is going to come next so he can manipulate defenses. But here's the kicker right here. Josh McDaniels, get this, guys. Josh McDaniels is entering last week, had the most, schemed up the most open window throws in the NFL. Not the Miami Dolphins, not the LA Rams, not the San Francisco 49ers and the Shanahan offense. But a Josh McDaniels offense is creating the most space and most open window throws in the NFL. And you add all that other stuff that I just talked about with Drake May and Steph Diggs, you got two guys that are vibing right now on offense. And let's continue to see that go.
You're speaking my language, Ted. I'm a big Josh McDaniels guy. You know that. And I continue to say he is going to be a strength of this team. He is going to the evolution of him learning what Drake May is, because I think Drake May is unique. Well, first of all, we know he's unique, but he's also unique to what Josh has experienced. And I think maybe that takes some time to harness that, mold that, whatever that relationship is going to be. But it feels like it's rolling pretty nice.
It's based off that first game, I thought we were in big trouble.
Yep.
That first game against Las Vegas, I was just, you saw me. I was starting to question everything. and then it just slowly, they've gotten better and better. I think a lot of people, I just was like, what are we doing here? And that was just a terrible game plan, but Josh's game plans have gotten better and better each week, so I give him credit, man.
And Fitzy, Josh is a polarizing guy. He always has been. He's had his, like, people that think he's really good, like me or Brian Hoyer, and then there's others, even when he was in his heyday with Brady, thought he kind of got in the way or had an ego, tried to do too much, tried to show something.
He's only good because of Brady. Yes. Oh, good, another draw on 3rd and 7. Oh, a screen pass on 1st down. What a surprise. The guy knows more, but the guy, I hate to say it, but it's the cliche of, like, the guy forgets more about football today than most people know. And where are all the McDaniels detractors now? Now that Drake May's numbers are flourishing, he's in the top 10 of everything. And like you just said, Ted, people are getting open and the offense is starting to come to life. Where are they now, huh?
And I also go back and I'm not going to ask you to get it, Stiz, but we played audio when Josh McDaniels was in his off year last year, and he was on Julian Edelman's podcast, and he talked about Drake May, and he said something to the effect, I'm going to be interested to watch him to see what he wants to become in the NFL, a runner, a thrower, a pocket passer, use all of it to his strengths. And that was him as an outside observer, just watching it. Mm-hmm. Now he's an inside observer to see where that goes and maybe even push him however that works best. So that's an interesting factor in this as well. But right now, it certainly seems like it's working.
It's working, man. Keep doing those moving pockets. Let's see some boots, more boots in the red zone like last week. Boots out of shotgun, boots out of under center, right to the boots to the right, boots to the left. Oh my gosh, they got everything kind of going right now, which is extremely hard to defend an offense that can be as creative as it can. This offense can be when you have that type of athlete, being quarterback.
And do you believe that Josh believes in Drake May's intellect? He's had some comments about, when he comes off and I ask him questions, he gives you the right answer.
Yeah.
Like the play might not have worked, but what he tells me is what actually happened or what you'll see on film. Do you think they legit are vibing on an intellectual level?
I think so. Yeah. And I think that's probably one of the key. I think it helps for this job, recall, but I think it really helps if you in that quarterback position to be able to come off the field and remember what you saw in the play that can either help you not do it again or improve on it somehow, that you can come over and tell the coach, yeah, this is what I saw.
Right. And I've heard stories like there are some quarterbacks that the OC will ask the guy, like, no, I couldn't throw it there, coach. The backside safety had dropped. And then you go to film and there's no backside safety.
Right.
And that kind of hinders the development of that relationship. Yep. Whereas, no, coach, I couldn't throw there because actually the middle linebacker, weirdly, he got extra depth. So there's no way I could get over his head. And you go to film. Oh, yeah, the middle linebacker did a good job getting depth here, and that helps the relationship. All right, that's going to do it for our three-point stances today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up next, we're going to continue to talk a little football because our buddy Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, will join us. We'll see how optimistic he's feeling about Drake May. Is there still a dark side and dumbness to Drake May's game, as Tom Curran said? Or is this a chance for Drake May to have a coming out party on Sunday Night Football? We'll talk about that with Mike Giardi next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give us what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.